Spirit-filled relationships in our church family. Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 to 26. On page 2 of the notice sheet is a little outline for today, and particularly want the younger people here to have a copy of that. Are there any spare copies, Danilo? Would you just be able to just make sure, if any children, young people in the church, if you haven't got your own notice sheet, just stick your hand up and Danilo can give you a copy. Julian. Can we have that full screen, please? So today's Bible reading was originally written to Christian people in an area called Galatia. And at the time when the Apostle Paul wrote this letter, this was part of the Roman Empire. Now on the map you can see the Mediterranean Sea. I'm sure some of you have visited there. Oh, disappointingly, my clicker doesn't have a laser pointer this time. Not to worry. Galatia is on the right-hand side, so above the Mediterranean Sea, Lystra and Derbe, that kind of area there. That's where Paul sent this letter to, and that's now part of the country called Turkey. But back then, it was an administrative region in the Roman Empire called Galatia. And Paul didn't write this letter just to one church community, like he wrote his letters to the Corinthian church or to the Philippian church. Galatia was a region, and he wrote it to all the churches in Galatia. And that's where this bit of the Bible gets its name from, Paul's letter to the Galatians. So we're thinking about relationships in our church family, and particularly about the fruit of God's Holy Spirit in our living together. We're thinking about relationships across our community, between younger and older members, with people of the same age as you, maybe in your All Saints Club group or the 421 Youth group, perhaps in your growth group, thinking about men relating to men and women relating to women. We've got different personality types, outgoing and shy. Some are physically strong, some are physically frail. Some are in employment, paid employment, some are retired. So a great range of different relationships and people across our church community. And we're going to think about how we relate together. Here's a picture from last week's talk. When we think of our church, we are to remember that Jesus Christ is our head, the head of the church. And we, the church community, are his body. So our focus is about how we connect and live together as a community, the body of Christ. We're blessed with really good church buildings, which help us gathering in our gathering together. But we need to remember that the church is about the network of relationships, following Christ together. It's not about the building, it's about the people. So from Galatians chapter 5, I've got two main things that I want you to understand this morning, two main points for us today, and those are on page 2 of the notice sheet. We're going to be looking at some of the verses in this Bible reading, so it'd be great if you can have that Bible passage open in front of you, and we'll look at them together. It's on page 1073 in the church Bibles. So firstly, serve each other with a loving attitude. Jesus said, "Love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples." Jesus wants us to love one another in the church community. Jesus wants us to love others, whether they are young or old, new disciples or people who've been
following Jesus for a long time. If we do this, says Jesus, then other people will know that we truly are his followers. This is a mark of the church. And loving service of other Christians in our church family is a mark of the Holy Spirit being at work in somebody's life. Now, Paul teaches the same thing in today's Galatian reading. Please have a look with me at chapter 5, verse 13 of Galatians. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. There it is, serve one another in love. That's our key commandment for this morning. How are we to live together as Jesus' church? We're to serve each other with a loving attitude. And who are we to serve? Well, it's the people here in the room today, sitting beside you, in front of you, and behind you. This is the church, real life people, not some theoretical church out there somewhere else. It's us. And of course, the other people who regularly meet in our church who aren't with us today. Serving each other with a loving attitude is at the heart of real church. It's at the heart of being the body of Christ together. And it stops church being some vague kind of theoretical thing far away from us and brings it very much down to real life for us day by day. Well, this is a lovely kind of thing to say, isn't it? And it's the sort of thing we expect to hear when we come to church. But when we stop to think about it, we realize that it's actually a very hard thing to do. The Galatian Christians certainly found it hard. Some of them weren't serving each other at all, quite the opposite. There was hatred amongst them, broken friendships and selfish ambition. Some were jealous of each other, some were proud, some were envious. And in verse 15, Paul tells them to watch out. Please have a look at verse 15 with me. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Now, hold on a minute. This sounds like animals fighting in the jungle, not the local church. What's going on? Biting and devouring, that's very strong language. Church members biting and devouring each other. I don't think Paul meant this literally. He didn't mean that they were, you know, biting into each other's arms or that kind of thing, or eating each other. He's talking about speaking harsh words to one another that break people and break relationships. Please look at verse 26 at the end of the reading. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Well, I'm glad that we aren't like that here at All Saints Church and that we don't need to worry about this sort of thing in Fordham and Atash Green. We're not really like those Galatian Christians who lived a very long time ago, didn't they? You know, we're a loving church full of cuddly people. But maybe we need to stop and check ourselves for a moment. Is there anyone in our church community that you are envious of? Don't put your hand up. Is there anyone that you're jealous of in your small group? Maybe in the All Saints Club? Is there someone that you used to be friends with, but something went wrong and now you don't really speak to them? Is there anyone that you actually hate? Now, it would be difficult to admit these things, wouldn't it? And generally, we don't think that these are church things. But the striking thing from today's Bible passage is that we find that actually, this is real church life. It was then in Galatia, and it will be today. But these things, of course, are normally mainly hidden. Occasionally something will flare up in a church community, but that's quite rare. Normally they're behind the scenes, these things. And if we're honest, these things aren't so far away from us. Perhaps we are more like the Galatian Christians than we like to think that we are. Let's listen to verses 13 to 15 again, and Grace is going to come and read those for us.
You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Here we see the Bible's famous command to love your neighbor as yourself. But here, Paul applies it to other people in the church community. Other members of the church, young and old, married and single, are our neighbors, those sitting here around you today. I wonder if you can see some of your own attitudes in Paul's warning. The Galatians needed to serve each other with a loving attitude, and so do we. But I think we can all agree that this is actually a difficult thing to do. So this is a challenging bit of God's word for us to apply to our lives. We're going to take a moment now to talk together, and I've got a discussion question for you, which is up on the screen. How can you serve others in the church community with a loving attitude? Let's chat in pairs, maybe in threes, just for a minute or two. It may be that some of you don't feel comfortable doing that. That's fine. You're welcome to just think about that on your own. A couple minutes of talk time. Okay, well, let's draw those conversations to a close and we'll come back together. Really great to hear you engaging on that very important question. So as we come into the second half of my talk, how do we do this? How do we love one another? How do we serve one another with a loving attitude? And the Apostle Paul's teaching for us is that we must live by the fruit of the Spirit. That's my second point for today. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. God doesn't just leave us all alone to get on with this. God gives us his Holy Spirit to help us be church community together by serving one another. God comes and lives in the Christian person to help him or her serve other Christians with a loving attitude. And this is an amazing thing. God the Father and Jesus the Son come and make their home in a Christian, in a person, by the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God helps us to serve other Christians. So it's not actually about us getting it all together ourselves and drumming up our willpower to lovingly serve others. God comes and helps us by his Spirit. That's a key thing that I want you to get hold of this morning. Let's look at a couple of the verses together. Here we hear the answer to the biting and devouring one another, the bad, sinful nature that breaks up a church. We hear the other side of the coin, the good side that's going to grow and bless the church, being filled with the Spirit. This is the cure for being conceited and provoking and envying each other. Have a look at verse 16. So I say, live by the Spirit. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit. Verse 25, since we live by the Spirit, keep in step with the Spirit, which I think means walking with the Spirit, keeping in step with it. You know, when you go on a walk with someone, sometimes people walk at different speeds or paces. This is that we should walk together with the Spirit at the same pace as him. God's Holy Spirit produces good character in us so that we can serve each other with a loving attitude. Now, I'm sure that most of you have heard the message that we need to eat plenty of fruit and vegetables. Sometimes we hear it in the media, on the news, or in a program. Maybe you hear it taught in your school occasionally. And I'm also sure you hear it from your mum or your dad. So I've got a question for you. This is a hands-up question. Who can tell us how many portions of fruit and veg we are meant to eat a day? Perhaps a younger member of the church family might like to answer this for us. Stick your hand up if you know the answer. A younger member. I know you're young at heart, Marlene. Anyone? Okay, well, it is your opportunity, Marlene. How many bits of fruit and veg? Nice and loud.
Five.
Well done. We're meant to eat at least five portions of fruit and veg a day. That's the message that the doctors want you to hear for a basically healthy lifestyle. That's a key aspect. The Holy Spirit is into fruit as well. The Spirit wants us to be a healthy church. And the Spirit thinks that fruit is a very good thing. But we aren't talking here about mangoes and bananas. No, the fruit of the Spirit is different. He wants to produce fruit in your character. He wants you to have the kind of character that's able to serve other Christians with a loving attitude. So it's five a day when it comes to physical fruit and veg, but it's nine a day when it comes to the fruit of the Spirit in our characters. And please have a look at verse 22 with me in the Bible passage. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law, writes Paul. Now, inside today's notice sheet, there's space to write down these different character fruit, if you like to, around the orange. And this will help you to think about them and to remember them. Here they are listed on the screen for you. So God wants us at All Saints Church to serve each other with a loving attitude and with these nine qualities. These are the stuff that we need in our characters to be able to do this loving service. Now let's note a couple of things. The nine fruit all go together. They're all part of one fruit rather than, to use the fruit metaphor, it's not like cherries and bananas and mangoes. It's all part of one fruit. That's why we've just got an orange on the screen. We need all of them, like you need to have your five portions a day. We need all nine of these. So it's no good saying that, well, at All Saints Church, we are kind of, we're the joy kind of Christians. You know, we're really top at joy and we're full of the Holy Spirit when it comes to joy. But actually, we're very unfaithful people. No, we need to be faithfully joyful. All nine need to go together. We can't say that at All Saints Church, we're the peace kind of people. You know, we've nailed it when it comes to the Holy Spirit and the subject of peace. We need to be peaceful people and kind people at the same time. Faithful, kind, and peaceful. We need all nine working together. So we need to be lovingly self-controlled. We need to be gentle in our goodness, and we need to be faithfully patient. All nine work together. They're all part of the same thing from the Holy Spirit. So speaking to the children here, think about the next time that you have some friends over from the church to play at your home. I encourage you to pray beforehand that God's Spirit will produce fruit in you that will help you to be kind and patient with your friends from the church. Maybe they're not quite so good at the games as you are. Or maybe they're not quite so imaginative in their play as you are. Pray for the Holy Spirit to help you to be kind and gentle and patient with them, to build up our Christian community. Live by the fruit of the Spirit. So as I come to finish, I want us to see that these things are all about character and attitude. These are the basic foundation that we need to be a church together, a real church with real community. These aren't just for super Christians, they're for normal Christians like you and like me. We are to serve each other with a loving attitude. And God's interested in our attitude and our character and how we do this. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us. And the Spirit produces good fruit in our characters. When Paul instructs us to serve one another in love, we shouldn't so much think of being involved in a particular part of the church's life. It's not so much about having a specific job in the church or role, as important as those are. But it's rather about how we do those things. It's about the attitude with which we relate to other people in the church day by day and week by week. All of us have the gift of saying hello to someone else and finding out how they are. All of us can pray for somebody when we get home and ask God to help them. So serve each other with a loving attitude. Live by the fruit of the Spirit, day by day and week by week. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But we recognize that this is hard. It's not an easy thing. Remember the biting and devouring. So if you fail or you struggle with it, or, you know, Francis has been talking at you, and you just think, this is too much, I can't do this. Well, I think that is the normal Christian experience. Don't become disheartened by that, but look to God to help you and ask him to fill you regularly with his Holy Spirit. One of the main ways to respond to this teaching from Galatians 5 is to pray. So I want to encourage you to pray regularly at home, pray maybe later today, but pray day by day and week by week that God will give you the fruit of his Spirit in your life, that we will have spirit-filled relationships in our church community. And let's pray together now. We'll have a moment of quiet to think and pray in our own hearts, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Heavenly Father, we look to you for the life of our church community. Please give us spirit-filled relationships in our church. Enable us to live by your Spirit. Help us to walk with your Spirit and keep in step with him. And fill us with the fruit of your Spirit in our characters so that we can serve each other with a loving attitude. We ask that you bless your church. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.